It's time now for Bible Talk. Join our hosts, Gary Gibbs and John Bradshaw, speakers for the Amazing Facts Ministry, as they now open the Bible and discuss themes that affect your life today. Stay tuned, because the next 15 minutes will deepen your understanding of God's Word.
Hi, friends, and welcome to Bible Talk, where we talk about what the Bible has to say to us today. I'm John Bradshaw, and with me is Gary Gibbs. Hi, Gary.
Hi, John. We have an exciting topic today. We're going to talk about what the Bible says about adding years to our life in this life.
You know, if you go back to the beginning of the Bible, Gary, people were living to be, what, about a millennium old, Methuselah, 969. People lived a long time back then.
Can you imagine living 1,000 years? You know, here we are. You know, if you just took the last 1,000-year period from year 2000 back to 1000, and look at all the technological advances you would have lived through and all that stuff. It'd be phenomenal to live 1,000 years.
And it was God's plan for us to do so. As a matter of fact, it was God's plan for us to live, well, forever.
Now, of course, because that's how He created us, but it was sin that shortened our lives. But you're saying even after sin, we live to be 1,000 years.
1,000 years or so, people were living back then. Today, if you live to be 75, that's great. 85, that's really great. Over 85, and you've exceeded all expectations. There are still people on the world, on the planet today, who live a good long time.
There really are. In fact, my wife's grandmother, visited a people in northern Pakistan years ago called the Hunzas, and they're renowned now for their longevity. They live, John, to be 120 to 140 years old, and they're not a decrepit 120 years old.
What a lot of people, I think, don't understand is that one of the reasons these people are living so long, the Hunzas, is that to a large extent, they are following God's program for good health.
God's program. You know, John, that sounds like something I would see at the grocery store checking out on the tabloids there. It would say, discovered God's program for health.
Well,
just like Elvis was spotted recently.
Well, you will find God's program for good health, but you'll find it in the book of Genesis and not in the Inquirer or something like that.
Well, what's that program?
Genesis 1, verse 29. God said, behold, I have given you every herb. Now, you'll notice that's a herb, not an herb.
It's not an herb.
No way. It's a herb. God, since I came to the United States, I've made a lot of concessions in the way I speak, but I'm sorry.
You're not going to give up that one?
Herbs are still herbs.
All right.
He gave us every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth.
Sounds like cannibalism to me.
Yeah. And what about on top of that? Every tree in the which is in the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you that shall be for meat, or in other words, for food.
For food. So you're saying that the Bible, right here in the very beginning, before sin, mankind was given the permission to eat what? Fruits, nuts, and grains.
In fact, a higher authority than I is saying that. That's right out of the Word of God. Very clear. That was God's plan in the beginning. You know, in the Garden of Eden, before sin came, there was no death, you know. God never told Adam that when he got hungry to march out there and slaughter himself an animal and fry up its flesh. That just wasn't on the menu in the restaurant there in the Garden of Eden.
So when did it get on the menu? When did we start filleting fish and cutting steaks and all that? When did that come onto our menu?
The Bible records it in Genesis chapter 9 in verse 2. In verse 3, God says to Noah, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb or herb have I given you all things. And then he says, but flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, you shall not eat. After the flood, you know, there weren't too many watermelon patches and wheat fields and veggie gardens. And God had said, go ahead now if it's your desire to eat some of these animals now.
So he said, okay, now since all the vegetation was destroyed, now you can eat meat.
Well, he had to eat something, right?
Where did they get it from?
Well, they'd taken the animals on the ark, hadn't they? And notice something about this. Genesis 7, verse 2. I want you to notice something about these animals now.
Yeah, I wonder where you're going with this, because it seems to me, you know, if they took these animals on the ark, I think a lot of people would say, and they started eating them, you'd wipe out these species, wouldn't you?
Well, you would, you know, because we were told as children, the great majority of us, that God told Noah to take the animals on the ark. How?
Two by two.
Two by two, right? But did you know that's not actually the fullness of what the Bible says?
Really?
Get ready for this. This might be the most amazing thing you've learned all week.
Well, and let's look at it.
I mean that too now. Genesis 2 verse 7, God says, of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by, are you ready?
Okay.
By sevens.
Sevens.
Sevens, the male and his female. And I'm not reading any shady translation of the Bible here. And he says, of the beasts that are not clean, take them by two, the male and his female. God was saying, Noah, when you get off the ark, you won't be wanting to eat any of the unclean animals. So take plenty of the clean so you can offer sacrifice, presumably. And so you've got some of them to eat when you get off the ark.
So that's when he gave them permission to eat meat. And this is where they got it from. It was the animals they took on.
The clean animals.
They took some by two, some by sevens.
Right.
The clean. Well, what's a clean animal? Are those the 4-H animals? You know how the kids growing up in the country have the 4-H animals. They put them through the fair. They scrub the pig. They powder them. And they put the bow in his hair.
Well, that's
and
one
he, and
way.
He looks, well, I don't even know if pigs have hair. They put the bow on his tail.
I can see a bow in the bristles of a pig right now.
So he's clean now. Is that the clean animal he's talking about? Is he talking physically clean, spiritually clean? What's the clean? What's the unclean?
You know what you're going to discover right here is that one of our 4-H students can scrub a hog till the cows come home, and that hog is never going to be clean in the biblical sense. Shall we look at that in Leviticus chapter 11?
Okay, so there it tells us in Leviticus 11 what's a clean and unclean animal.
Leviticus 11 shows us the distinction between clean animals and unclean animals. And listen, before I read this, I feel like you or somebody might be about to say, stop right there, John.
That's for the Jews.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Leviticus, John, I know somebody's thinking that. Leviticus is for the Jews. It's talking about Moses, the children of Israel, leaving Egypt, definitely for the Jews. And somebody's thinking right now, what do you mean clean and unclean? That's Old Testament. That's for the Jews.
Now let's nail this thing shut right here. God spoke to Noah and he said, Noah, some of these animals are clean, some of them are unclean.
Well, someone might say, yeah, but wasn't Noah an Old Testament person? Wasn't he an Old Testament Jew?
Well, you ask, you tell me now, how many Jews got on Noah's ark? The Jewish nation wasn't called into existence for years after the flood. There were no Jews in existence at the time of Noah's ark.
So just because Noah's Old Testament doesn't mean he was Jewish.
He certainly wasn't Jewish, you know. He was anything but a Jew. There were no Jews at the time of Noah, see, proving beyond a shadow of a doubt that this distinction between clean animals and unclean animals is way before the Jewish race. It's not peculiarly Jewish.
Because God is telling Noah, take on the clean animals. So Noah had to know in his own mind what was a clean animal by sevens and what was an unclean animal he'd take on by twos.
And let's us right now know in our mind the distinction between clean and unclean animals. God says in Leviticus 11:2, these are the animals among the beasts now which you can eat. Whatever parts the hoof and is cloven-footed and cheweth the cud among the beasts, that shall you eat. So you see, it's got to meet some criteria.
So it has to have a parted hoof.
Yep.
And do what else?
And chew the cud as well.
What's that? What's chewing the cud?
Well, like a cow does that, right? It has a very efficient way of processing and dealing with its food that it eats there.
Okay, so it re-chews its food, well, basically, a second time.
Cow has
it?
Multiple stomachs, and yes. I don't want to get... Someone might be eaten right now. They regurgitate that thing and chew. It's gross, but it's very clean.
That's what
clean.
The cow does. That's not what the person who's listening that's eating right now does.
I sure hope not.
Okay.
Verse 4, these are the things that you shall not eat of them that chew the cud or of them that divide the hoof. God lists some of the things that are unclean right now.
Right,
starts
now,
off.
Now, these are some of the things. They have one of these criteria, and they chew the cud, but they don't have the cloven hoof.
Yeah, or maybe vice
or
versa.
Or vice versa.
Now, he says the camel chews the cud, doesn't have a split hoof, it's unclean. Now, Gary, because of what we've read in the Bible, I'm asking you right now to swear off camel from now on.
Well, camel doesn't bother me. I've never smoked camels, cigarettes, and I don't eat camels.
All right.
Souffle of hump of camel doesn't interest me whatsoever. Now, there might be somebody somewhere that eats camel.
Chewing on the leg of a camel right
now. It sure is not me.
You've been shocked right now. You discover those camels are not clean.
Oh, they stink. No camel for me, John.
All right, good.
But now, it's unclean.
It's unclean. All verse 5, the coney, that's like a badger. It chews the cud, but it doesn't divide the hoof. It's unclean.
He's too ugly. I wouldn't want to eat him anyway.
All right, verse 6. Now we get a little closer to home here. There's not too many people. All right, Ma, I'm off to shoot us some grub, and they go out and knock off a camel out in the back field. But there are many people who might go out and shoot themselves a little bunny rabbit or something like that. And the Bible says in Leviticus 11:6, and the hare, and that, of course, would be the rabbit now. This is Bugs Bunny. Because he cheweth the cud but does not divide the hoof, he is unclean to you. Now, that's getting a little closer to home here.
Well, it really is close to my home because I grew up shooting little bunny rabbits.
Tell me what you learned about those little bunnies that you shot.
Well,
were they the cleanest things on the planet?
They're cute, John. But
that's about where it ends, though.
Yeah, blowing them away is not as much fun as I thought it was.
Yeah.
And then you skin them and you eat them, and they're really unclean. In fact, they can have worms and all sorts of stuff.
Diseases like warbles and these sorts of things. Do you think God knew what he was talking about?
Yep, very practical here.
So if that's practical, let's read the next verse and see how practical you think that one is. Verse 7 says, and the swine, though he divides the hoof and is cloven-footed, he does not chew the cud, he is unclean to
you. Now, you're really close to home there.
Yeah, I know someone's going to say, oh, he stopped preaching, he went to meddling, but the Bible says it, you see. And when you stop and consider what science tells us about pigs today, well, we understand that God, again, knew what he was talking about when he declared them unclean. These are animals which are known to be harbors of trichinosis, or the trichina larvae. These little parasitic worms that get into the tissue of the animal, you eat the animal, and it ends up invading your system as well. Everybody knows that when you take that pork home, they tell you that you should cook it
real well.
Real well.
Very well done.
For the purpose of doing what?
Killing all the worms.
Now, do you want to eat those worms even though they're dead?
Well, no.
Again, we know that from another aspect, these animals are very high in fat. Cholesterol from them is a real big problem.
John, we probably don't have time to go into it, but you know, you're really starting to sound to a lot of people like you're legalistic.
Well, I want to assure you that to do anything out of love for Jesus Christ is anything but legalism. Now, we don't have time to exhaust that this time, so join us again next time. And be sure you get this week's Bible study offer, You Wouldn't Do This. And join us for more next time on Bible Talk. If you'd like more information on what we've been studying today, we have a comprehensive Bible study guide we'd love to share with you that's absolutely free. This study includes many of the texts we've just discussed and expands on the subject, including information you'll want to know. To receive this free informative Bible study guide, simply call, write, or email and ask for BT113, You Wouldn't Do This. The toll-free number is 866-BIBLE-SAYS. That's 866-242-5372. You can write to us at Bible Talk, P.O. Box 1058, Roseville, California 95678, or email us at bibletalk@lifetalk.net. Bible Talk has been produced in association with Amazing Facts in the studios of Life Talk Radio.